Well, being the Lord's Supper, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this evening. There's a statement there on the table in front of the pulpit here. This do in remembrance of me. And that's just simply the thought tonight as we think of Christ. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll begin in verse 17. I'll read for you tonight. Just follow along there in your Bibles. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own, before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So this statement that Paul makes, he's quoting, of course, Jesus Christ. And he says, this do, in verse 24, in remembrance of me. Remembrance is simply the retaining or having in mind an idea which had been present before, or an idea which had been previously received from an object when present, and which reoccurs to the mind afterwards without the presence of the object. Okay, so that's a remembrance. The object is no longer there, but you, from time to time, recall or remember that object or that item. As we understand, the Lord Jesus lived, was crucified, was buried, and he rose again the third day. Hallelujah. And then 40 days later, he ascended up into heaven. Okay? That was approximately around 2,000 years ago. All right? In a ballpark. I'm not going to be some kind of a pinpointist. Is that a word? I'm not going to pinpoint exactly when it was, because I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows for sure. But can I tell you something? It's about that long, right? He's been up in heaven at the right hand of the Father all of that time. He's not here to put us into remembrance by the physical object of him dying, buried, risen again, and ascended up into heaven. So it is something that we look back to in the pictures of our mind, having never seen the object really in with our visible eyes, right? But rather through the Word of God and through what's been passed on from generation to generation. So this thing of remembrance, and especially when having to do with the Lord's Supper, this is something that the Lord Jesus and also Paul shared about wanting the church to take part in this. So one of the things that we as a local independent Bible-believing Baptist church work with, one of the what we call ordinances in our whatever it's called, bylaws and constitution and everything, the two ordinances where we have the Lord's Supper and we have baptism. Okay, those are things that the church is supposed to oversee. Okay, why? Because they're important memorials in the Christian life. You know, baptism's a memorial. Yeah, we're supposed to walk even as we're buried, as Christ was buried. We're supposed to raise up out of the water to walk in newness of life. It's a picture. It's a memorial. It's representing what we did to die to our old self and to be raised up in the new nature of Jesus Christ in salvation. Yeah, it's something that's supposed to be handled by the church. So is the Lord's Supper. It's a time of remembrance. When we have the cup and we have the bread and we have these things, these elements, they're to serve as a remembrance and an example. In the Bible, we have an example of Jesus being baptized, going down into the water, coming up out of the water. In the scriptures, we have the Lord's Supper. When Jesus and the disciples met together at the time of Passover, right before his crucifixion, we have this example that Jesus puts forth in scripture. So these things are to be done in remembrance of him. And the church is supposed to oversee these things. Does it look like the Corinthian church was having a little difficulty with this ordinance? Yes. Yes, they were. And it was Paul's intent to set them straight on it. Yes, he was. Because he was Paul? Because he thought they should do it right and he was unhappy with how they did it? No, because it was important. Because it was important. Hey, listen, if someone's not baptizing the right way or for the right reasons or all those different things, Paul would have probably written a letter to them too. These things are just supposed to be done a certain way and under the authority of the local church. So many times we'll look to Corinthians here and we'll see how this is explained of how the Lord's Supper is to be administered. How it's supposed to go about and what's supposed to happen. And because they were not doing some of the things right and they needed to be done correctly, because it was supposed to be a memorial service. It was supposed to be a time of remembrance, not a time of feasting, not a time of fulfilling lusts and pleasures, but rather a time to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done for us on the cross. You see, there are some things we need to consider tonight as we look at in remembrance of me. First of all, look at verse 23. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Over in Matthew 26, in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." In Mark 14, verse 22, it says, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body." In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, he said, "And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." We have those accounts in scripture of the Last Supper and how Jesus Christ took bread and said that this was his body, that they were to take it and to eat it and do it in remembrance of him. He was still there. He was still there. But he was setting something up for them so that they could pass on, because in the end of Matthew 28, he tells them to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So he's supposed to teach, they were supposed to teach others these things as they perpetuated churches in different places. Started churches here, started churches there. As it was perpetual, going on and on around the world, they were supposed to teach these things. And he gave them a first-hand account to teach from. Jesus said that his body and his life was the bread that we need. In John chapter 6 and verse 32 through 35, remember what Jesus said. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, which is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You understand that as we participate in the Lord's Supper, this bread is significant of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to us. Without it, we don't have life. We don't have life. Now listen, I understand in this day and time, people are trying to get away from eating bread. Okay? But it used to be, right, in the old prison systems and such, that all the prisoners got was bread and water, right? What did that do? It sustained life. It just did. It sustained life. Now, listen, I know we've come a long way since then and all those things, but do you understand that in Bible days, bread was significant and equivalent to providing and sustaining life? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So this is a time to remember what the significance of Jesus' body being broken for us as he was on the cross and he was being sacrificed and given to us so that we can have life in his death. In Exodus chapter 12, you understand where this some of this came from with the bread and the unleavened bread. As the Israelites were there in Egypt and the Lord is about to deliver them, he says, and this day it shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And on the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations ye shall eat unleavened bread. In Corinthians, what is significant about unleavened bread? Well, leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, right? In 1 Corinthians 5, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We understand that unleavened bread represents the body of Christ. This was the bread that they would have eaten during the Passover. And this is the bread that Jesus would have picked up and broke and gave to his disciples. It wouldn't have had any leaven in it. Because this was to be kept forever and the children of Israel, and there wouldn't have been any leaven in the house because of the ordinances that Moses gave. You understand that these things were a picture of the sinless body of the Lord Jesus Christ, broken for us on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ is perfect. No sin, no leaven. He is the bread of life. And if you will, he is the unleavened bread of life. No leaven. And we understand that as we take a look at this, some may call it a little cracker or whatever it might be, but it is unleavened bread. It has no leaven in it. And if we are to be in remembrance, not of us, not of our necessarily what salvation means to us in as much as what it means about Jesus. That he's the perfect Lamb of God. That he was our sacrifice. That his perfect body was broken for us because of our sin, not his own. You understand that this is to be a time of remembrance. And then in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." In Matthew 26, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it. And they all drank of it, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. In Luke 22, it says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." You understand that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed on the cross. Had to be. The perfect, sinless Lamb of God. A sacrifice for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The grape juice that is here in this middle container. It is there to represent, to bring us to remembrance of the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 9, I won't take time to read the whole thing to you. But it says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He goes on to illustrate the sacrifice process and how the blood was provided. We know later on, I quoted to you already, without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He did it for us. And he shed his blood. And guess what? According to this, he took it himself up there to heaven. And made the payment for our sin. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. There's a controversy throughout Scripture about this word wine in the Bible. And you know what? Just like leaven is a picture of sin, so is fermentation. It's a deterioration of the juice. Produces alcohol. Makes people drunk. And what does it do? Causes them to lose their faculties and senses. And that's a good picture of Jesus, right? Wrong. I'm surprised it's how so many people are mixed up in these things, because that doesn't make any sense. And God makes sense. He doesn't change. He does things the same. So if he says, don't put leaven in your bread, why would he say it's okay to ferment the wine? Well, it's not. It's not. And of course, those that will study carefully will understand that Greek is a very complex language. And the times, especially when Christ made the water into wine, and there at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, it was the good stuff. And that does not mean what the world thinks it means today. It means it was real grape juice. Without fermentation. Back then, that was the good stuff. Because they didn't get to have that very often. You understand that that's what this is referring to. As they were drinking this, there was no leaven to be in the house at all. They would not violate that ordinance. The blood of Jesus Christ was without sin. Perfect. Had to be in order to purchase our salvation. What are we remembering tonight? The perfect, sinless body of the Lord Jesus Christ, broken for us on the cross. What are we remembering tonight? The perfect, sinless blood of Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross. In 1 John, I'll get to that in a minute. In Revelation chapter 1, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You understand? That Jesus Christ has washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that provides salvation for us. Love those old hymns that talk about the blood. That sin cleansing fountain. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This do in remembrance of me. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at verse 26. We'll wrap this up tonight. We have the bread, we have the cup, we have the cause. To what end is this done? Why do we do this? It's because of the remembrance of him. Look at verse, as we go through here. Look at verse, what it says in verse 24. This do in remembrance of me. And in verse 5, as oft as ye drink it, verse 25, as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You understand that these things are done for a remembrance. So what's the cause of the bread? What's the cause of the cup? Well, why do we do this? Why do we, from time to time in our local churches, take the time? It's because of the remembrance of him.
That's all it is. It's a time of remembrance. It's a memorial. It's a thing that we should do, as Moses said to the children of Israel, forever, lest we forget. Lest we forget. Romans chapter 1 and verses 1 through 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience of the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. It's in remembrance of him. In John chapter 6, we know how Jesus went through, we talked about his blood and his body. And he got a little specific because he was getting a little ornery with these scribes and Pharisees that were bucking him. So he kind of put this out there, and it's kind of, well, maybe you could say it's a little gross, but it's very vivid. In verse 53, he says, unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Well, was he talking in a literal sense there? No, he wasn't. And they kind of mocked a little bit there. And you understand, I understand what they were trying to accomplish. And there are religions out there today that believe that these elements, the unleavened bread and the juice of the grape, actually become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And say that's not true. And that's not what Jesus was saying at all. It's a memorial. It's to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. It has a cause. It has a purpose. And Paul went on to say, as he was talking to the Corinthians, he said, listen, you ought to be serious about this matter of the Lord's Supper. It's not a party. It's not a meal. It's a time to examine yourself. It's a time to remember him. It's also a time to remember that you're a sinful creature saved by grace. You know, in John, 1 John chapter 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's just a time of remembrance, a time of examination, a time of thought, to retain or having in the mind an idea which had been present before, or an idea which had been previously received from an object when present, which reoccurs to the mind afterwards without the presence of the object. Jesus Christ is right now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us and waiting for that command and that trumpet sound. You understand that that time is going to come? So what did he leave us? Some unleavened bread, some of the fruit of the vine, to remember and think on these things.